everybody. Buckle up that seatbelt. We've got a lot of content to cover over the next hour. Bill Buckmaster with you, my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. Tom, the air quality out there really is bad. And I check all those services like Air Now and Blue Sky. There's a bunch of services you can check on the internet. We're getting smoke from Oregon and California as the wind direction pushes it all the way over to Arizona and New Mexico.
I think that's what's giving us that smoggy kind of look.
You bet. You bet. And the humidity levels, but hopefully those are going to start to drop here as we transition out of our rainy season. We're in our 11th year on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. The radio station that we broadcast from is 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. The call letters are KVOI. We have worldwide live listening on my website. You can hear the program live at buckmastershow.com and, of course, kvoi.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, we go on to the live line from Phoenix and Will Humble, who is the Director of Marketing and Public Relations and the Executive Director of the Arizona Public Health Association. He's also the newest member of our team at Buckmaster. He is our public health contributor. He's one of two dozen experts in their areas. We're just so happy to have Will with us. Will is the former director for the Arizona Department of Health Services. Will, how are you?
Hey, good morning, or actually good afternoon. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thanks.
Well, we've got you on at a very serendipitous time because your organization, the Arizona Public Health Association, as they say, hot off the press, just released a news release about a survey that was done by your group. What are some of the highlights? Let's drill down into this survey, Will.
Yeah, so first keep in mind that we surveyed likely 2022 voters. So the people that are likely to vote in the next general election in Arizona. And so as you hear the results, remember that we purposely selected a disproportionate number of Republicans because Republicans tend to vote more frequently in midterm elections in Arizona. Even with that under consideration, we found that the majority of actually a healthy majority of likely voters in 2022 believe that schools should be requiring their students to wear masks in the classroom, and in even larger majority disagree with the governor's signing of the bill that prohibits school districts from acquiring masks in the classroom, part of that is they disagree with the governor's decision to pay schools more grant money if they do not implement mitigation measures like masking in the classroom. And you remember that the governor did an executive order to distribute money to schools that don't mask, but schools that require masks were disqualified.
Even with a weighted in the favor of Republicans, the Republicans and Democrats, independents, overall pretty much don't like the way the governor's handled COVID-19. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. A majority of Arizonans either think the governor did a poor or failing job or an okay job. If you add those up, it's way over 50%. So, yeah, very few Arizonans believe that the governor has been doing a good job. The exception, of course, are, interestingly, Republican males still support the governor's decisions, but all the other demographics don't.
Well, throughout the pandemic, the governor and his team, Will Humble, have consistently suggested that Arizona's poor performance is a result of bad luck, a poor performance when it comes to COVID. What do you say to that?
Well, and you're right, they have. And when Director Crist was in her position, she would, all the tweets that came out of the agency, and every time she talked to the journalist, basically, it was like, well, it's bad everywhere. It's not bad. Well, of course, this has been bad everywhere. That part's true. But it's much worse in Arizona than other states. And our death rate per capita from this disease is seventh in the nation. And it's because of the policy decisions that the governor and Director Crist have been making. And I think probably the biggest mistake that they made, or what I view as a mistake, is when we saw the exponential growth happening last December, they didn't do anything about the bars, restaurants, and nightclubs, those very environments that start the chains of transmission that end up making people sick and killing them. They've made an enormous number of mistakes throughout this, but I think that one in particular is what led us to the dubious distinction of having such a high per capita death rate from this disease.
Now I want to go to something the survey got into about the vaccinations. One of the questions that was asked, Will, have you received a vaccination for COVID-19? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so that was really actually pretty interesting. One thing that we found is that likely voters are more highly vaccinated than the general public. So if you're a likely voter, you're more likely to have been vaccinated than if you're somebody who doesn't participate in elections. So maybe that's people who are more civically engaged tend to vaccinate at a higher frequency. So we did find that. But the most compelling thing that we found, and this is, I think this is striking. Bill, I'll be curious to see if, I don't know that it's surprising, but it is striking for sure, that among Democrats that are likely voters in 2022, almost 94% of them are vaccinated. So 94% of likely Democrat voters are vaccinated, and only 52% of likely voters that identify as Republicans are vaccinated. So there's this huge gap between Republicans and Democrats, and the independents are in the middle, but tend towards the high side. So persons that are independent voters, are about 81% of them are vaccinated. So what it tells me is that when the state and county health departments do these public service messaging, they need to start paying attention to doing some focus groups on people who identify themselves as being conservative or Republicans, because, you know, that's the biggest gap. That's the area where we need to improve the most, are among conservatives that are still not vaccinated. And I'm not so sure that public service announcements and that kind of stuff are going to be super compelling, but they need to start trying, at least.
I was very curious, so I did a little quick research to compare your polling with the Kaiser Family Foundation, their most recent poll nationally on vaccinations. And how people identify Will Humble politically is a big deal, according to the foundation. Their survey shows Republicans make up 58% of the group who said they definitely would not get vaccinated. So that's a bit higher than what you found in Arizona.
Well, I think those are two different questions. So what we asked is, are you vaccinated?
Okay.
And
okay.
About 51% of Republicans who are likely to vote in 2022 are vaccinated versus 94% of Democrats. Big difference.
All right. Why don't we take a break right here, because I want to transition into it. I've got a whole stack of stuff, as I usually do for Will Humble, but we want to talk right now about my favorite bakery in town, and that is Mona's Danish Bakery. The light and tasty melt-in-your-mouth pastry known as the Danish Kringle. That is the place to get the Kringle. In Arizona, it's a Scandinavian pastry. It's filled with, you name the top, or you name the filling. They can probably do it for you. Almond, cherry, raspberry, they're all good. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, open right now. The team does a great job at breakfast, lunch, and they are open daily for you. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Find out what all the excitement is about. Find out why so many people and so many of our listeners make Mona's Danish Bakery their go-to place for everything when it comes to beautiful bakery goods. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. If you have any questions or want to join in the conversation with Will Humble, it's 790-2040 is our live line number, 790-2040. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We've got Will Humble, the Buckmaster Show contributor on public health, former Arizona Department of Health Services director, and current executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association, with us on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I want to go stay just a moment or so more on polling and why people are not getting the shot, Will. Going back to that Kaiser Family Foundation poll that I mentioned in the first segment, white evangelical Christians and people who are under 65 who don't have health insurance are the most likely to say definitely they will not get the COVID-19 vaccine. So if that is true, Will, shouldn't we be kind of zeroing in on these people with our messaging?
No, you're absolutely right. That's the key. is that, you have to craft your message for who it is that you're trying to convince. And that goes for advertisers do that
right,
all the time.
Right.
They know, like, okay, where do I need to advertise so that I get the right kind of listeners to sell whatever product or service I'm looking for? And the same thing is true in public health. It's called social marketing. And you make sure that you're framing your arguments to the right audience and that you have the right messenger. And so, like, for example, when we would do social marketing to try to convince people to stop smoking, for example, we would focus in exactly on the demographics, and we would buy time on the channels that we knew smokers watch. And you can look at the demographics and figure that out. And the same thing goes for COVID, is that you've got to have a trusted messenger. So, for example, for white evangelicals, one of the areas that you should focus is to try to get trusted messengers. For example, faith leaders that can, put together a compelling argument and urge their congregations to get vaccinated. And that, by the way, is happening more and more frequently these days, that you see faith leaders jumping in and urging their congregations to get vaccinated and their followers. So you're right. You need to craft your message to for the demographic you're trying to influence. And, people under 60 without health insurance is a different demographic than white evangelicals who frequently attend some kind of faith organization like church. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and a million years ago, I started my career in advertising, and this would be just a no-brainer, Will, when it comes to the folks who are worried about the COVID shot and what it would cost them. Well, what you do is you start talking about, this is a free shot.
Right. That's right. You figure out your demographic. Right, that's right. And for the white evangelicals, you try to find somebody who's well-recognized in that faith community that is willing to put together a service announcement. Mm-hmm. And then focus. And you don't necessarily, everyone thinks of TV first, but there's other ways to get to them through, like, Facebook type groups. It's something called geofencing, where you focus on a particular geographic or demographic area and push your messages out on things like social media. It could be Instagram, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. So it has matured a lot. Social media has built a lot more options than there used to be.
All right. And of course, there's also religious radio, which is very strong in the United States. That would be a natural place to also reach these people. I want to take these calls that are waiting. First, we're going to go to Matt. Go ahead, Matt. You're with Will Humble.
Well, I think that both of you have outlined that this is the greatest communication failure for a national emergency that is extended for over a year. I mean, we're basically in a war, and we've lost. We've been losing this war. The casualties continue to mount, and the virus is beating us. But this is not because we do not have the ammunition. This is not because we do not have the resources. This is because we have a complete failure of communication. I think you've outlined people like Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck would be able to reach an audience of the people that are most desirous of false information. People, we need some sort of leader. And I'm not saying Tom Selleck needs to be the leader, but we need a leader that's coming directly from the top, and not Dr. Fauci, not the political parties. I don't know the answer. I think you've outlined the problem, but this is beyond the pale, and history will judge us terribly. Thank you.
All right. Will, go ahead. And I will point out that the health department, of which you used to lead here in Arizona, has tapped Richard Carmona, the former Surgeon General, and his main duty, I understand, will be to try to get folks vaccinated. Some of your thoughts to what Matt was saying.
Well, first of all, I want to go back to what you said about religious radio. That's a terrific idea. Buy your ads on the religious radio stations.
Yeah.
That's who you need to get to for that group. And your caller was absolutely right. You got to have – it's a big – a huge factor in whether a message is credible is where the message is coming from, who it's coming from. And so, you know, you've seen these PSAs with the former state health director. And they spent a lot of money, $2.5 million so far this year on vaccine ads. And she's standing in a parking lot with a syringe reading a script. I mean, that's not – focus group tested, and it's not targeted like your caller just mentioned, and you got to have the right messenger. And so I'll give you an idea. There was a rally that the former President Trump was in, and I think it was in the Deep South somewhere, Alabama or something. And in that, he talked about that the vaccines were good and you should get vaccinated. I mean, you could pull that and move it into a PSA and get that out. I mean, there's a lot of this demographic that we're talking about that's largely unvaccinated or disproportionately unvaccinated. A lot of them are strong supporters of the former president, and that's somebody that they might listen to. And so you got to get the right messenger. That he's absolutely right about that.
All right, let's go now and hear what Wayne has to say. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yes, good afternoon. The question I have is, are there any statistics on the number of kids, say K through sixth grade, that catch the virus and die? Is it a significant number? And I'd like to have that statistic in light of what is happening to these kids that are wearing masks, that are not getting socialized, that are having language problems, because you have to see your face, a person's face, in order to really learn language. And I'd like to see if anybody's looked at a cost-benefit masks versus negative socialization and language skills in little kids.
All right. And before you answer the question, Will, the latest statistic shows that nearly 3 in 10 of the COVID cases are now with people that are young people that are not even eligible for the shot. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, we are seeing that the number of cases is starting to begin to become more dominated by kids. Your caller is where I think your caller was driving, and he has a point, which is that since the very beginning of this pandemic, we've seen that the people that are at far higher risk for a bad outcome are older persons with chronic medical conditions, and that unlike H1N1, which was more severe in kids, this tends to be less severe and more asymptomatic cases in kids. And so that part is true. Now, it's also true that there are with the Delta variant, there are more kids that are becoming infected. And I don't have the statistic that you're looking for right now. The state health department just lists it as 18 and below, so they don't break it down by the younger children. But we are seeing, as you just said, Bill, I think about 30% of the cases in the last couple weeks have been among kids. And so that's that. Now, you're driving at here, which is that it is important for kids to have a good learning environment and be in person. I'm a big supporter of that. One of the ways to keep kids in school and not be out on quarantine or not actually get sick and miss days of school is to reduce transmission in schools. There's two primary strategies that work with that. Well, three things, really. Number one is universal masking, which reduces transmission by 800% in a classroom if everyone is masked. So that helps with that. Ventilation, actually, if two HEPA filters running in a classroom reduces transmission 400%. So for those districts that don't want to use masks, I encourage them to invest in HEPA filters for the classroom and improve ventilation within the classroom, because that can help as well. And to be quite honest, if I had a choice, for my kids, they're grown now, I would want them to not have a mask, because it's a more natural and organic way to learn and for socialization. On the other hand, if you in-person school depends on having low transmission rates and low transmission. And so to minimize that, you got to have some control measures within the classroom so you have fewer kids out sick and in quarantine. So this is a dicey, difficult question. And in some ways, I agree with your caller on this, that, you know, that we want to get rid of the masks as soon as we can for kids, because it does interfere with socialization. And your last question is, has there been studies that are published? Over the weekend, I saw in my Twitter feed a couple of studies but I don't know the journals that they were in, but I haven't gone to look at those in detail yet, but that's on my list of things to do this week.
All right, I've only got 40 seconds, and one item that I need to talk about very quickly in my stack of stuff, the COVID-19 risk for vaccinated people. We're now finally looks like agreeing on a number. It's 1 in 5,000. That seems to be the risk. Well,
it's actually, if you look at the number of cases that are coming in Arizona right now, about 15% of the new cases are what are called breakthrough cases. So those are persons who have previously been vaccinated. But the statistic you're reporting is that when it comes to bad outcomes, like being hospitalized or dying, it's almost exclusively unvaccinated people.
Will Humble, thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, Tim Stone, Stiller of the Arizona Daily Star will join me in the conversation with Mr. Huckleberry. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Perfect time of year to do some gardening and to get that fall color into your garden. The beautiful site at 13 acres for Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check it out. They have everything you need to make your garden spectacular. It's greenthingsaz.com and their sister business on the property, zocalovillage.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management on the live line from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky science educational organization. Dr. Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David, how are you?
Hello, Bill, and welcome back from your trip. We got a weird connection today, but we'll do the best we can.
Yep, we had a great trip over in Central California, and since we talked, David, the sad news that Carolyn Shoemaker of the famous comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 has passed away. She died in Flagstaff, Arizona at the age of 92.
And 92, and she died on the 13th of August, which she died on the 13th of August, which I think Gene would love, because the two of them just love joking about Friday the 13th.
Oh, jeez. I was surprised reading her bio, David. She didn't have a lot of formal training, really lacking kind of inexperienced and a science degree anyway. But Caltech had no objection to her joining Gene's team there as a research assistant.
No, they didn't. In fact, they encouraged it, Bill, and because she had the energy and the eyes and the ability to find things on that wonderful stereo microscope. And she ended up finding over 800 asteroids and 32 comets.
Wow. Is that the record, the 32 comets? I know that's a lot, but is that, as far as you know, is that the record?
I don't think so. It was at the time. Mm-hmm. But I think Rob McNaught in Australia has now way past it with something like 70 or 80 comets that he's found over the years.
What would happen, Tom Fairbanks, if we call David? It won't make any difference, you're saying, if we call David back, because your line is really weird for some reason.
Well, why don't you try? You could try calling on the. You try calling on my cell phone. You have that number. Why don't you try that?
Okay, we will try to call on the cell phone number, and that will give me an opportunity, Tom, while we call, you go ahead, and I'm going to talk about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our great sponsors. Whether you love birding, geology, or fly fishing, the 17th annual celebration in and around Silver City provides a chance to reconnect with the waterway known as the Gila River. It's the Gila River Festival, and it starts September the 16th, and it runs through September the 19th. You can find out more by going to GilaRiverFestival.org for more information. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico is a great destination. It's only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. And you can find out more not only about the Gila River Festival, but about all the great places to stay and the many things to do in Silver City by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Here again, Dr. David Levy. David, how do you sound now?
Well, we have a different connection, so let's see how this goes.
It sounds much better. Did you want to make a few more remarks about Carolyn Shoemaker before we move on?
Well, only that she probably had the best sense of humor of anybody that I knew. I just loved being with her. She was like a member of our family. She was a member of our family, and after Jean died in a car accident in 1997, Carolyn continued observing with us at the at our Jarnac Observatory for many years. And we had an awful lot of fun doing that. I went to Chile with her to give lectures once, and we've had a many, many years of a very good friendship.
Well, she certainly is one of the people in your life who have obviously meant a lot to you, not only professionally, but personally.
Oh, yeah. She's one. I've lost, you know, it's funny, as Wendy and I both get older, look at the people that we have and think of the people that we have lost. According to very well, Clyde Tombaugh, the person who discovered Pluto, and we were buddies with him. Really enjoyed that friendship. And but we're just losing everybody, Bill, and I really want to make sure we don't lose you.
Oh, thank you very much. I wake up every morning with that same, I don't want to lose me. I want to try to take care of myself, and because I really love what I do, and I feel I've provided a service for more than 50 years in this particular business, and over 33 years now here in Tucson. So want to keep it going. How are the clear skies doing for you here now that the rainy season's over?
I was out last night. I did a bunch of comet searching with Eureka, one of my newer telescopes. It's a 12-inch diameter telescope. Earlier, we were at a local school where we dealt with 50 children, showed them the night sky. We do once.
That's very nice. David, I'm going to have to wrap it up with you pretty soon because for some reason this phone line doesn't sound that great either. But let's try to get the quote of the month in.
Okay, quote of the month is Romeo and Juliet, and it's in honor of Jean and Carolyn because these are right now on the moon after the lunar prospector hit the moon with these words on them. Come, gentle night. Come, loving black-browed knight, give me my Romeo, Julie, take him and cut him out in little stars, and he will make the face of heaven so bright that all the world will be in love with night, paying the worship to the garish sun.
All right. David, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, and stay well. We'll see you next month.
Okay, David Levy with us for his monthly visit. Coming up next, Attorney Don Luce. So much information, some of it breaking, concerning legal issues surrounding the COVID-19 vaccine. That's next, Attorney Don Luce, right after this.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Joining us on the live line, Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you.
So much news going on, and we've been talking about it for months, about the vaccine and making it mandatory under certain conditions. The latest news, the president announcing there will be now even more stringent vaccine rules for federal workers and contractors. This is going to be a situation where the shot is going to be, through executive order, requiring all federal workers to be vaccinated. There will be no option, Don, of being regularly tested to opt out of that requirement. This kind of tightens the noose on this particular mandate.
It does. And you know what's interesting, Bill? Just yesterday, our attorney general in Arizona essentially told the city of Tucson that it could not require its employees to get vaccinated. So on the one hand, as you pointed out, President Biden has essentially mandated all federal employees and certain contractors to get vaccinated. Tucson enacted a similar mandate, but the Arizona Attorney General just came out with an opinion saying that that mandate cannot be enforced because it is contrary to the state's mandate, which is scheduled to take effect later this month by way of the statute, and Governor Ducey's executive order previously issued, which bars governmental entities from forcing or requiring their employees to get vaccinated. So we add yet another interesting question to the mix, which is, are you required to get a vaccination if the entity that you work for says that you have to? And the answer, I can tell you from studying this for months and months, depends squarely on who do you work for.
Right.
And depending on who you work for, that'll give the answer to whether you can be required to get a vaccine. And if you don't, whether you can lawfully be terminated because of your refusal.
Yeah, and I want to go back a little bit to the Brnovich situation. That law, I believe it's SB 1824, does not take effect until September the 29th. We had Councilman Steve Kasacek on the show yesterday, talking about this very subject, about what in a way kind of looks like a preemption, Don Luce, of a law. And Councilman Kasacek said it would be like there would be a new law taking effect in a couple of weeks that says you cannot drive or you could drive 100 miles an hour or something on the freeway. But you would have like it's a preemption of a law that hasn't taken effect. Do you understand where we're going with this?
I do. And I think the supporters of the Brnovich opinion would say, well, yeah, but this is different. And here's why. Once you get the shot and you subject yourself to whatever risk there may be associated with the shot, you can't undo it. So if the city of Tucson tells its employees that they have to get vaccinated, and I think I could be mistaken on this point, but I think there are about 1,000 city employees who are still unvaccinated.
I think you're right on that. That's the figure I have.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about a pool of about 1,000 people. So if you require any one of those 1,000 people to get vaccinated today, you've irreparably harmed them if this law takes effect at the end of the month and then they don't have to get vaccinated under the state law. I think that was one of the rationales in going into Brnovich's opinion, which, of course, has forced the city to essentially put this on hold because the risk is, of course, they'll lose state funding, which accounts for about 10% of the revenue.
All right. Well, what about the question, so you could get fired from your job for refusing to get vaccinated or wear a mask? You kind of, at the beginning of our conversation, said this is really kind of depends on really who you work for. But there's also unemployment. Could you potentially forfeit, Don Luce, any right to collect unemployment benefits?
The answer is potentially, and here's why. It's still an open issue. The Department of Economic Security is the state agency that regulates and administers the unemployment compensation program. So typically, if you lose your job through no fault of your own, you can apply for unemployment benefits, and your application typically will be accepted, and you'll begin receiving benefits as a result of your job loss. However, if you lose your job because you have done something bad or wrong, DES may deny your application because it was through your fault and it wasn't through no fault of your own that you lost your job. So that's the distinction. Did you lose your job because of something that you shouldn't have done, or you failed to do something that you should have done? Now, with regard to this mandate that you either wear a mask or you get vaccinated, the Attorney General, in a separate opinion from the one we previously discussed, said that employers are free to require their workers to be vaccinated against COVID. So private employers can require the vaccination under certain limited circumstances that, you know, except for certain limited circumstances, which we've discussed on past shows. But the city or any government entity for that matter cannot require its employees to be vaccinated. So again, going back to, can my employer require me to be vaccinated? Well, first you have to answer the question, who do you work for? And then there are some other sub questions that would come into play. But with regard to private employers, they can require, generally speaking, their employees to get vaccinated. And if their employees refuse to get vaccinated and there are no Title VII or ADA issues associated with the refusal, in other words, they're not refusing because they have a medical condition which prohibits them from being vaccinated, or they're not refusing because of a sincerely held religious belief, but they're just refusing because they don't believe in the vaccine. Under that circumstance, an employer may terminate the employee in most cases. And that employee, if he or she files for unemployment benefits, may be faced with an objection by the former employer saying, no, we dispute that the former employee is entitled to benefits because he or she was fired for disobeying a lawful mandate, which is every employee gets vaccinated. And the employer might cite OSHA, for instance, which requires, and we've talked about this before, that every employer provide a safe workplace, free of recognized hazards that could cause the risk of death or serious injury. The argument would be that COVID is such a hazard. And in order to rid the workplace of that hazard, the employer was required to implement a mandate applicable to every employee, and an employee who fails to follow that mandate can lawfully be terminated and not eligible for unemployment benefits. Now, having said all of that, and what I said at the top is, it's still an open issue. It's going to be looked at on a case-by-case basis at the Department of Economic Security, and there is no blue pencil rule right now where, you know, if these facts exist, yes, if these facts exist, no. But it is an issue, and this is one of a number of evolving issues surrounding COVID.
Well, you know, I want to talk briefly about the two exemption areas. Presumably, if your doctor writes a note that you could not get the shot for whatever medical reason, I would think that would be that would work. But when it comes to a sincere religious belief, that's kind of a gray area. What are you going to do? Get your pastor or your minister to write a note? Or, I mean, it's weird.
Well, all I can tell you is how the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, has addressed the issue. The EEOC has basically said, if an employee claims a sincerely held religious belief, the employer essentially must presume that it's a sincerely held religious belief. And quite frankly, if the employer goes any further than that, then we could be running afoul of some privacy considerations or discrimination issues. So if an employee says, look, I sincerely believe under my religious doctrine that I cannot get this vaccine, the employer, for the most part, has to take the employee at his or her word, and that's the end of the story. So that's an exception under Title VII, which, you know, applies to any employer with 15 or more workers. The ADA, which you alluded to earlier, creates an exemption for employees who have a medical or disability of any nature that would put them at risk if they got a vaccine against COVID. So those two bodies of law sort of superimpose themselves on most employment relationships, and employees who either can't for medical reasons or can't for religious reasons are going to be exempt. And they would have a legitimate claim if they were terminated for failure to get vaccinated.
All right, Don Luce, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. The Luce Law Group, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Thank you, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
Don's two books, very popular books, Arizona Laws 101 and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Lots of content today. I hope we were able to shed some light on some of these topics that everybody is talking about. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producer, Bill Buckmaster, saying have a great afternoon.